Ersatzfrozen Disney and 1960s Assassinations. As tales of the Führer's getaway to South America mounted, some observers hoped to spot a deceiving despot working out of Argentina, surrounded by renegade German officers. Few anticipated that the only opposing persona would be a fake Disney guise. When the Disney blog revealed a pseudo-Disney facade inside South America, an English press officer protested, "I am English and I work for a newspaper in Dubai. We were contacted by a duped investor and proceeded to write an exposé piece on Higgins. Sadly, it was pulled and did not go to print the second time a Dubai publication has pulled a piece on Higgins." Scores of other comments revealed the taking away of millions of poor hard-working decent citizens' money. The lawbreakers also acquired new Lamborghini cars through falsified signatures. Steps were taken right away to post a listing of the senior executive positions and board directors of the counterfeit Walt Disney venture in South America. Somebody called Stephen expressed sorrow, "My mother passed away and I inherited some money. A portion of this money was invested with Higgins Warner." After more than a few pages of grievances and keyed-up temperaments, the Walt Disney blog entry commentary option finally closed with an emotional message. "This is a Disney site where many children and families are visiting. I do understand the frustration of many of you, but using the language some do will not change anything. Please, to all of you affected by this, find legal advice." Walt Disney Mundo Building Park in Argentina, The Mouse Kingdom blog, December 24, 2007. It was the night before Christmas and all through the house, Walt Disney Productions regretfully informed their supporters that another Disney ratlin had appeared out of Argentina. It was a scandalous conspiracy of global proportions, and the matter was under FBI investigation. Walter Elias Walt Disney was born on December 5, 1901 and died on December 15, 1966. But gossip has persisted that his cadaver was cryogenically frozen and is held in storage. According to the myth, Walt Disney arranged to be frozen in a cryonic tub full of liquid nitrogen at his death, and he now waits for the day when medical technology will make his reanimation possible. When the frozen Disney rumor was started, and by whom, is unknown. The privacy Disney maintained concerning his personal life extended to his death, and the lack of details available about his funeral and burial arrangements combined with his reputation as a technological innovator has helped foster the story of Disney's cryonic suspension ever since. Snopes.com. Frozen is a 2013 American 3D computer animated film produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios and released by Walt Disney Pictures. The film tells the story of a fearless princess who sets off on an epic journey to find her estranged sister, whose icy powers have accidentally trapped the kingdom in eternal winter. Prince Hans of the Southern Isles seems trustworthy but in reality is the worst of villains. The charming prince conspires to murder the queen and is sent back to the Southern Isles to face punishment for his crimes. However, there is something uniquely horrifying about finding out that a person, even a fictional person who's won you over, is, in fact, rotten to the core. And it's that much more traumatizing when you're 6 or 7 years old. Children will, in their lifetimes, necessarily learn that not everyone who looks or seems trustworthy is trustworthy, but Frozen's big twist is a needlessly upsetting way to teach that lesson. Gina D'Alfonso, Frozen's cynical twist on Prince Charming, The Atlantic, December 10, 2013. In January 2014, Hollywood actress Meryl Streep launched a tirade against Walt Disney at the National Board of Review dinner in New York City. Streep was at the banquet to honor Emma Thompson for her portrayal of Mary Poppins' creator, P.L. Travers, in the 2013 Disney film, Saving Mr. Banks, with Tom Hanks as filmmaker Walt Disney. In her speech, Meryl Streep called Walt Disney a gender bigot and anti-Semitic. The Daily Beast noted, "If you're the sort of Disneyphile who thinks Walt could do no wrong, and there are lots of you out there on the internet, you're likely to see Saving Mr. Banks and say to yourself, good for Walt Disney Pictures. They were under no obligation to show the old man warts and all, but they did. Bravo." If, on the other hand, you're a Disneyphobe and there are lots of you out there on the internet, 2. You're likely to have the altogether different reaction. Warts. You might say, "What warts?" When Traverse barrels into that office, we should have gotten a glimpse of what Walt Disney was really like behind closed doors. At which point you might recite the now standard litany of dark Disney secrets. Walt was a fascist. Walt was an anti-Semite. Walt was a racist. And, if you're the sort of Disney-phobe who dwells in the deepest, darkest corners of the web, Walt was an Illuminati pedophile who liked to wear his mother's dresses and lipstick and was obsessed with the human buttocks. Andrew Romano, the real Walt Disney, not the Saving Mr. Banks version, The Daily Beast, December 14, 2013. Walt Disney's legitimate death certificate allegedly was not issued by a licensed hospital medical doctor, but by a specialist funeral organizer. An unthinkable illusion might be the unsaid elimination of a favorite storyteller who brought Snuffles to children's eyes. Perhaps it was the fake Disney who was frozen, that's the other one, not the real Disney. The same eugenics ethics that produced a Quaker artificial insemination in the 19th century would in the 20th century also influence space medicine, including hormone youth restoration techniques and cryonic suspension. The Fuhrer's aim to extend the human lifespan by 15 years had an unavoidable downside, a passed-out patient in an intensive care unit throughout the final years. Dr. Hubertus Strughold, chief of aeromedical research for the German Luftwaffe in World War II, became known as the father of space medicine for pioneering the study of the physical and psychological effects of manned spaceflight. In 1947 he was brought to the United States as part of Operation Paperclip and held a series of high-ranking medical positions in both the U.S. Air Force and NASA. But after Strughold's death in 1986, his involvement in Nazi-era deadly human experimentation came under question. In October 1942, Strughold attended a medical conference in Nuremberg at which SS physician Sigmund Rascher delivered a presentation outlining various medical experiments he had conducted in conjunction with the Luftwaffe Medical Service in which prisoners from the Dachau concentration camp were used as human test subjects. These experiments included physiological tests during which camp inmates were immersed in freezing water, placed in air pressure chambers and made to endure invasive surgical procedures without anesthetic. The experiments claimed numerous lives among the inmates forced to participate. Wikipedia.org. Perhaps the most enthusiastic user of human guinea pigs was the ambitious young SS Dr. Sigmund Rascher, who employed camp inmates at Dachau to test the human body's reactions to rapid decompression and lack of oxygen, in an attempt to help pilots forced to parachute out of their planes at high altitudes. He called some of his research sessions terminal experiments. He measured the time it took his subjects to die as their air supply was gradually thinned out. He showed his work, which led to the deaths of between 70 and 80 prisoners, to a conference of Luftwaffe medical experts in September 1942. The following month, Rascher presented the results of another experiment to a conference of 95 medical scientists in Nuremberg. This time, he showed how long inmates dressed in Luftwaffe uniforms and life jackets could survive in cold water, simulating conditions in the North Sea. The average time that elapsed before death, he reported, was 70 minutes. None of those listening to him raised any ethical objections. Richard Evans, How Hitler Perverted the Course of Science, The Telegraph, December 1, 2008. In October of 1942, Germany's senior aviation doctors met at Nuremberg to consider one of the uncanniest experiments of modern science. At that consultation, Professor George Welz presented secret research in the new field of cryogenics, the science that deals with production of low temperatures. The secret location was Dachau concentration camp, cell block number 5, where Dr. Sigmund Rascher conducted the operation of freezing human beings. The most unusual aspect of Rascher's experiment was not the freezing, but the resuscitation of a frozen victim placed next to a naked woman. On regaining consciousness, the victim immediately began to have intercourse, Professor Welz announced to the amazed assembly. Rather than freezing dead bodies in the hope of future cures, Rascher froze breathing subjects and resuscitated them. In 2010, Harvard Medical School announced that patients would be placed into a state of suspended animation when they undergo surgery by using a groundbreaking technique that freezes their bodies to the point of death. The technique involves replacing a patient's blood with a cold solution to rapidly chill body temperatures. The cold treatment, which is being developed at Harvard Medical School and the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston and is featured in a BBC Two Horizon documentary, will see patients' bodies being cooled to as low as 10 degrees C. Dr. Hassan Alam, the surgeon leading the research at Massachusetts General Hospital, said that emergency patients are often on the brink of death. By cooling their bodies, it can protect their brain and organs from damage. A BBC Two Horizon documentary on Dr. Alam's research highlighted a similar technique used on heart patients at Yale New Haven Hospital in southern Connecticut. Surgeons there cooled their patient's heart before switching off life support machines to perform surgery before the patient was gradually warmed back up and resuscitated. John Eleftheriades, the cardiac surgeon behind the operations, said, "The body is essentially in real-life suspended animation with no pulse, no blood pressure, no electrical waves in the brain. We didn't find any evidence of functional impairment after the surgery." Richard Gray, "Patients to be frozen into state of suspended animation for surgery," The Telegraph, September 26, 2010. During the McCarthy era, Senator Joseph McCarthy branded writers and entertainers as communist sympathizers. In 1952, famed director Elia Kazan appeared before the House Committee on Un-American Activities and named friends from the group theater. The circumstances surrounding the assassination of U.S. President John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963, set off fears of a Cold War conspiracy. These fears were decreased somewhat the following year when an official investigation by the Warren Commission concluded that there was no conspiracy. Since then, suspicions have arisen regarding the commission's controversial finding that only Lee Harvey Oswald was responsible for the assassination of Kennedy. Most Americans believe that others besides Lee Harvey Oswald were also implicated in the assassination. Critics argued that the government and commission covered up details pointing to a conspiracy. President Trump released JFK assassination documents in 2017. "I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee. But the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye. Singing, 'This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.'" Don McLean, American Pie, 1971. Among the many possible suspects were Soviet agents, the Mafia, right-wing extremists, Nazi rocket scientists, anti-Castro zealots angry at JFK's Cuban policies and betrayal of fighters who died in the Bay of Pigs fiasco, a hostile faction of the CIA, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI, shipping tycoon Aristotle Onassis, Lyndon B. Johnson and the wealthy oil barons of Texas. The book, Behold a Pale Horse, 1991, by William Cooper, alleged that the presidential limousine's driver shot Kennedy. The Emmy Award winner John Barber created the JFK assassination, the Jim Garrison tapes, 1992, that he hosted and participated in. On Black Ops Radio, John Barber discussed the background of JFK, The Final Word on the Assassination, 2014, which was followed by a panel discussion on the Kennedy assassination with Jim Mars, Dick Russell, and Joan Mellon, plus endorsements by Oliver Stone, Jesse Ventura, George Knapp, and Richard Belzer. In 1967, Jim Garrison decided to risk his entire reputation as a distinguished Louisiana district attorney and objected to the Warren Report's moot conclusion. Garrison said Lee Harvey Oswald was not alone. Experts were paid to assassinate JFK, and they got away with it because powerful people backed them. JFK was a 1991 American political thriller film directed by Oliver Stone, starring Kevin Costner, Gary Oldman, and Jack Lemmon. It examined the events leading to the assassination of President Kennedy and covered issues like the magic bullet theory, witnesses to shots from the grassy knoll, and an Oswald imposter in Mexico City. Filmed in a grainy semi-documentary style, with newsreels as well as amateur footage incorporated into it, JFK purports to reveal the actual truth about the Kennedy assassination. From the moment it was released, its director Oliver Stone has so passionately defended its factual accuracy that he became, for all practical purposes, the new Garrison. What could be more appropriate in the age of media than a crusading filmmaker replacing a crusading district attorney as the symbol of the truth finder in society? In this capacity, Oliver Stone Garrison played out his case on television news programs, talk shows, magazines and the op-ed pages of newspapers. He held his own press conferences, with his attractive researcher at his side, met with congressional leaders, and he, as the original Garrison had done a quarter of a century before, used this public platform to focus attention on the possibility that the government was hiding the truth about the Kennedy assassination. In exploiting this torment of secrecy, Stone proved far more successful than his predecessor in rousing interest in releasing the classified files pertaining to the assassination. Edward J. Epstein, JFK, Oliver Stone's Fictional Reality, The Atlantic, 1993. On April 27, 1961, Kennedy gave a speech at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, The President and the Press, before the American Newspaper Publishers Association. The president pointed the finger at a top-secret society, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths and secret proceedings. President Kennedy distinctly made public, for we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. Some critics today believe the Federal Reserve, the private central bank of the U.S., is an uncompromising operation that although it operates within the authority of Congress is a secret society that powers a free flow of takings to its banking oligarchs. On June 4, 1963, Kennedy issued Executive Order 11110. JFK delegated existing presidential powers to the Secretary of the Treasury for administrative convenience during a period of transition before phasing out silver certificates in favor of Federal Reserve notes. Some commentators claimed that Kennedy's executive order sought to interfere with the private Federal Reserve's control over the creation of money. The Federal Reserve says its banks are privately owned but controlled by the publicly appointed Board of Governors. Its profits go to secretive, dual citizenship. Global bureaucrats in foreign lands like the Rothschilds, Upper House of Lords, City of London Crown Corporation, and the Vatican Bank violating the Trump America First campaign pledge. Trump campaign chief Kellyanne Conway was the highest-ranking woman in his White House. After the American Revolution, Alexander Hamilton was named Secretary of Treasury in George Washington's cabinet and advocated the founding of a federal bank to be owned by private interests. Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson was strongly opposed to that design. However, a federal bank was set up in 1791 as the Bank of the United States with a 20-year charter. The charter for the Bank of the United States ran out in 1811 and Congress voted against its renewal due to the demands of Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson. Then the British government began the War of 1812 against the United States. The line of attack was to deplete the United States through war to such a degree that legislators would have to seek financial aid and the renewal of the charter for the Bank of the United States. British troops entered Washington, D.C. and burned the White House. The U.S. Congress granted the renewal of the bank charter in 1816. But on July 10, 1832, President Andrew Jackson shut down the privately owned central bank, Second Bank of the United States. "You are a den of vipers and thieves," Jackson told the central bankers in 1832. "I have determined to rout you out and, by the eternal God, I will rout you out." In 1835, Andrew Jackson became the first U.S. president to live through an assassination attempt. Richard Lawrence's assassination efforts failed only for the reason that both of the guns he pointed at President Jackson jammed when he pulled the triggers. Between 1862 and 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued $450 million of debt-free Treasury notes to pay for the Civil War. Lincoln called those greenbacks the greatest blessing the American people have ever had. A good pact for all, except the bankers. In his 1863 Thanksgiving Proclamation, Lincoln said, "I have two great enemies, the Southern Army in front of me and the bankers in the rear. And of the two, the bankers are my greatest foe." President Lincoln was assassinated on April 14, 1865. G. Edward Griffin's 1994 book The Creature from Jekyll Island is an analysis of present economic theory and procedure, in particular the Federal Reserve System. In November of 1910, Senator Nelson W. Aldrich invited investment banker Paul Warburg and other financiers to attend a conference on Jekyll Island in Georgia. The Duck Hunt congregation offered a quiet place on Jekyll Island to secretly discuss banking ideas and enabled the development of a plan that eventually became the Federal Reserve banking system. For years, members of the Jekyll Island Club would recount the story of the secret meeting, and by the 1930s the narrative was considered a club tradition. The conference's solution to America's banking problems called for the creation of a central bank. Although Congress did not pass the reform bill submitted by Senator Aldrich, it did approve a similar proposal in 1913 called the Federal Reserve Act. The Federal Reserve system of today mirrors in essence the plan developed on Jekyll Island in 1910. Tyler E. Bagwell, The Jekyll Island Duck Hunt That Created the Federal Reserve, 2008. On December 23, 1913, the U.S. Congress voted in the Federal Reserve Act, which gave the Federal Reserve Corporation the power to create money, as an auxiliary of the Crown corporations. It was authorized by President Woodrow Wilson. "The invisible government of the monetary power will be legalized," complained U.S. Representative Charles A. Lindbergh Sr. World War I broke out in 1914, 2 years after the British luxury liner Titanic sank by hitting an iceberg. The RMS Titanic was carrying some of the wealthiest people in the world. Its owner J.P. Morgan planned to sail but cancelled. A terrible worldwide economic depression took place in the decade ahead of World War II. In most countries, the Great Depression started in 1930 and lasted until the late 1930s or middle 1940s. The depression originated in the U.S., after the fall in stock prices that began around September 4, 1929, and became global news with the stock market crash, known as Black Tuesday, of October 29, 1929. It was the worst economic downfall in modern history, as sung by Yip Harburg and Jay Gorney's brother, "Can You Spare a Dime?" The Bretton Woods Conference, known as the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, was the gathering of delegates from allied nations at the Mount Washington Hotel, in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, to regulate the international monetary order after the conclusion of World War II. The conference was held, a year before the war's end, in July 1944. Its contracts established the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, IBRD, which is part of today's World Bank Group, and the International Monetary Fund, IMF. Central Intelligence became the spy agency for central bankers. President Donald Trump said the CIA would face restructuring under his reform. Pundits said Trump would try to oust the evasive Rothschild, Rockefeller, and Morgan-dominated Federal Reserve and replace it with a monetary policy experiment, computer program. IMF Chief Christine Lagarde expected massive disruptions by virtual digital currencies. "Money, it's a crime. Share it fairly, but don't take a slice of my pie. Money, so they say, is the root of all evil today. But if you ask for a rise, it's no surprise that they're giving none away." Pink Floyd, Money, 1973. Being There was a 1979 American film directed by Hal Ashby, adapted from the 1970 novella by Jerzy Kosinski. The movie stars Peter Sellers and Shirley MacLaine. Chance is a middle-aged gardener who lives in the townhouse of a deceased well-to-do man in Washington, D.C. Chance knows of the real world only from what he has seen on TV. After a car owned by a rich woman strikes him, his simple utterances are mistaken for profundity. No matter what chance says, it is interpreted as a pearl of wisdom and insight. He rises to the top of Washington society and becomes a media personality with an appearance on a television talk show. Soon serious consideration is given to running Chance as a presidential candidate. The 1960s saw a startling wave of urban uprisings, Detroit race riot, and assassinations. Right-wing militarism and racism rose up in opposition to social activism and U.S. civil rights laws that sought to address the inequities suffered by the poor exploited classes. On August 5, 1962, film actress Marilyn Monroe, Norma Jean Mortensen, was found dead, lying nude in her bed with an empty bottle of sleeping tablets by her side. The official cause of Marilyn Monroe's death was suicide, but there were many theories ranging from an accident to homicide. Rumors of Marilyn Monroe's romantic relations with President John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert appeared to be based on facts. Did her involvement with the Kennedy brothers lead to her death? Goodbye, Norma Jean. Though I never knew you at all, you had the grace to hold yourself. While those around you crawled, they crawled out of the woodwork. And they whispered into your brain. They set you on the treadmill. And they made you change your name. Elton John and Bernie Taupin, Candle in the Wind, 1973. On February 21, 1965, human rights activist Malcolm X was shot dead in Harlem by assassins identified as rival black Muslims. Spike Lee's 1992 documentary movie, Malcolm X with Denzel Washington, was a powerful screen biography. On April 4, 1968, Martin Luther King, Jr., the American clergyman, activist, and prominent leader of the African American civil rights movement, was shot and killed by James Earl Ray while on a balcony outside his second OR room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Martin Luther King, Jr. was a Nobel Peace Prize laureate who became known for his advancement of human rights through civil disobedience. On June 5, 1968, Robert F. Kennedy, the United States Senator and brother of assassinated President John F. Kennedy, was shot down by Palestinian-born Sirhan Sirhan, at the Ambassador Hotel in California. Robert Kennedy had just won the California Democratic primary and was set to challenge Richard Nixon for the White House. Two hypnosis experts, Dr. Milton Klein and Dr. Herbert Spiegel, agreed that Sirhan was hypnotized. The 1960s were marked by a post-war wave of anti-black violence and several key assassinations. Political bloodshed reached a new peak during that decade. Unease spread across America as the protest movement expanded. Half a century after the Warren Commission concluded there was no conspiracy in John F. Kennedy's assassination, the commission's chief conspiracy hunter David Slauson said the investigation was the victim of a massive cover-up to hide evidence that Lee Harvey Oswald was in fact part of a conspiracy. I now know that Oswald was almost certainly not a lone wolf. Philip Shannon, A Cruel and Shocking Act, The Secret History of the Kennedy Assassination, 2015. Nazi doctors devised mind science, monarch mind control programming, to persuade many Germans that deity is a beast and a killer. Monarch mind control would soon consume Americans' aspirations via MK-Ultra encoding from Hollywood and the music industry under the aegis of the National Security Agency, NSA, and the CIA. Was an imitation Disney production lineup used to execute psychological operations, psyops, upon the masses? According to investigator Robert Lukehart, deep political programming was better understood in the late 40s and early 50s than it is today. This is the time Nazi mind control was deliberately advanced to counter the Soviet threat. But the real power of Disney magic over generations is to thoroughly dumb down our children sexually so that the normal and necessary aspects of parenthood are effectively made perverse. This perversion of the historically all-important parental duty fully serves the Machiavellian manipulator. Why? Disney themes are all top-down power systems which advance the full destruction of the reality principle in children. This effectively reverses the power system of our Constitution and indoctrinates our children into delusion. Children can be effectively brainwashed not to understand who the Constitution is designed to serve. In fact, they will blunder through most of their lives believing they live in a top-down power system where bureaucrats, media figures, and all stars are superior to their own parents or their own husbands or wives. Such delusion serves the elite eugenicists with massive family destruction results. We now find the utter corruption of parental authority as the leading cause of wrongful government manipulation on a massive scale. Television brainwashing and its subliminal powers through a controlled media, Roberts Court, April 2, 2009.